is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Live from the George Jones Museum on 2nd Avenue downtown.
Come on, baby, let's get it.
From the War Room.
To come out quick, be smart.
To the gridiron.
Everybody's gonna eat.
This is NFL Pregame. With Jared Stillman, former NFL GM Floyd Reese, and former NFL wide receiver Chris Sanders.
Brought to you by
Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, Boom Boz Craft Pizza and Tap House, and Wholesaling, powered by RumbleOn.com.
From play one to the last play, we fight!
NFL Pregame starts now on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5
And for the third year in a row, win, and the Titans are in the playoffs. It is the pregame show live from the George Jones. Jared Stillman, former Titan and Ohio State Buckeye. Chris Sanders, wide receiver. Chris Sanders,
I'm not in a good mood, Mister.
Tough game for the Buckeyes.
Tough day, man.
At least you're not. At least you can go to Oklahoma. And former Titans general manager Floyd Reese again. Win, and the Titans are in today against the Texans. Now, remember where we sat a year ago up here at our Week 17 show as we got ready for the Indianapolis Colts, and the Titans were without Marcus Mariota. They were going to go into the game with Blaine Gabbert, and they had to win in order to make the playoffs. They did not. 2 years ago, Titans facing a Jaguars team had already won the division. Titans win, make the playoffs this year, third year in a row, Chris Sanders.
Yep.
Win and you're in. Houston, it looks like, is not going to play their guys, as I think a lot of us suspected throughout the week they were going to not do. But the Titans find themselves in need of a win at Houston today in order to make the playoffs.
I mean, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, Watson's not going to play, Hopkins is not going to play. But you got to remember, this team is still going to come out and play because their head coach said, you know, we're playing to win. I just think the Tennessee Titans got to come out and just play Titans football. I was listening to Casey's interview last week, Jarrell Casey. He said we got to get back to playing Titans football. What does that look like? We got to be strong on defense, and we got to make plays on offense. And I just think if the Tennessee Titans come out fast, finish, and do what they're capable of doing and not worrying about what the Texans are doing, I think the Tennessee Titans can come out with the win.
I think, Floyd, this kind of game is the kind of game that makes you incredibly nervous. But it's better than the scenario the Titans were in last year where they were facing Andrew Luck with Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want to go into a game of this caliber without your starting quarterback. So, you know, that's not a problem for him today. And you know what? I mean, I don't think they can approach this game any different than they approach any of the others, which is they got to believe they're all going to be there. When we look at the first snap, we'll see who's there and who's not and go from there. But because we really don't know unless they're deactivated at 1:30, then we'll know. But other than that, it's a matter of, okay, if they're all active, they can all play. And we've got to go in, and this is a must win for us. It's not as important a game for them. And so, you know, you'd like to think that that edge would be enough to maybe help the Titans get over the hump.
It was interesting. Jim Wyatt posted a video of the Titans walking into to NRG Stadium, and they were all wearing, obviously, suits because they travel after the game. And everyone's walking in with their suits and their bags and everything. And you could just see the look of business they walked into the building. I think that, like, one thing that kind of bothers me about the idea that Bill O'Brien won't play as starters, which it's come out through the media that A.J. McCarron will start at quarterback and that DeAndre Hopkins will be active but probably won't play very much. Mm-hmm. The thing I guess I take away from this is, you got to play as hard as you would play if DeAndre Hopkins were in there. You got to play as hard as you would if Deshaun Watson was in there.
Yep.
And just because this game doesn't mean as much to Houston as it does to you, surely you can't lower your level of intensity and the way that you're going to play today because of what's at stake for you.
And also, you got to remember, too, that even though you named some players that were out, they still got some playmakers on their team. They got Steels that's going to play. They got DeAndre Carter. They got Duke Johnson. And Hyde is playing. So they still have some playmakers and playmakers that's capable of beating you. And then I want you to look at this also, too, Jared and Floyd. A.J. McCarron still has to prove himself. Why not take this game to say, you know what? Yeah, I haven't played a lot. You only played in 14 games in my career. But this is an opportunity to show the league that I can play this game. So I think he's going to come out fired up. So we still, as the Tennessee Titans, they got to come out and play 100% in every facet of the game.
Yeah, for AJ, I mean, this is his Super Bowl.
Yes, sir.
You know, and he's going out there thinking, hey, I've got to – if I am able, if I've got the skill set, I've got to go out there and find a way to light this thing up. And you know, I agree with Chris. They're still going to have players. I mean, if we can't approach this game any differently than if it was the best team in the league and we would have to beat them to get into the playoffs. I mean, you've got to go there and play everything you got.
That being said, what do we think about today's game, knowing that a win in your end, and it sets up a matchup probably with, well, most definitely with Kansas City or New England. If New England were to lose, I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, theoretically, I guess it could happen. What do we think about today's game and how the Titans will come out today in this game and what we're seeing from the Titans and what we think this team is about in big moments like this?
You know, this is a great opportunity because we said at the beginning of the year that this Mike Vrabel said this, we want this team to go from good to being great. This is a great opportunity on the national stage to show that they've improved. I know we've 9-7 in the last 4 years, but this is a great opportunity to showcase what they can do on offense, defense, and special teams. And then on the flip side of that, the offense runs through Derrick Henry. What's the health of Derrick Henry? Can he handle the whole game? Can he handle, you know, 25 to 30 carries? It all depends on what Henry does if this Tennessee Titans team is going to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, if they come out with anything other than their hair on fire, you know, they don't deserve to win, don't deserve to make the playoffs. So, I mean, they've got to treat this like this is the biggest game they've ever played and go from there. Like I said, as the game, you get into the game, if things change, then you can change. But you got to start off like this is everything.
So last season, I remember the offseason after the year, and we talked a lot about, you know, earlier in the year, if they had taken care of Buffalo or if they had beaten Baltimore or if they had done some of the things they could have done early in the season, Miami, they would have made the playoffs. And we look back at that. And it'd be very easy to look back at this year and say, you know, if they could have beaten Indianapolis or Denver, teams like that, when Marcus was quarterbacking. And the team's been through a lot this year, and I think they've learned a lot about themselves and a lot about what they're capable of as a football team. That being said, I don't. If you can't win today and you go 8-8, you don't deserve to make the playoffs. You know, that, to me, I think today is really a put up or shut up moment for the Titans, because if you, I know that, you know, there's a scenario where if Indianapolis loses to Jacksonville, Pittsburgh loses to Baltimore's backups, even if you lose, you still make the playoffs at 8-8. I mean, I don't really care about if the Titans make the playoffs at 8-8. I mean, I will still talk about it. We'll still watch them next week at Kansas City. But to me, it would feel like an undeserved playoff entry. They go to Houston, take care of business today. This team, with all they've been through this year, they've earned a shot to
the playoffs. Right, but here's the cool part about the whole scenario. You said all those bad things that happened. They lost to Denver. They lost to the Jags. They lost to the Panthers. They're sitting today in a position that if they win, they're in. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are sitting home. Like, look at Indianapolis Colts. If they, even if they win, they're still not going anywhere. They're out. But look at where the Tennessee Titans are at, going through adversity, going through things, you know, with the quarterback situation, going through injuries, going through all this stuff, but you still have a position that if you win, you're in.
And I think people, you know, if we're lucky enough to win, people are going to say, oh, you're 9-7 again. I'm not looking at this as a 9-7 year.
True.
After all the stuff they've been through, you know, 2-4 and changing quarterbacks, I mean, Vrabel's decision to change quarterbacks may have been as big a decision as anybody had to make in the league all year long.
Both Boomer Esiason and Jimmy Johnson on the pregame shows today said that was the decision of the year.
Wow.
Really? Well, that goes to share. I mean, it was a giant decision, and yet he made it, and made it convincingly. You know, it wasn't like he left the door open. It wasn't like he said, you know what, we're going to change and see how this works. And if it works okay, then, you know, we may stick with it. If it doesn't, then we'll go back tomorrow. It was none of that. It was, we're making a change. Yep. It's done. We're moving on. He's our guy, and which is the only way you can approach something like this, in my mind.
And just, you know, at the beginning of the season, I know Mike Vrabel was getting a lot of criticism on his coaching and on some of his play calls and stuff like that. But I want to take my hat off to him. You know, just going through all this adversity, going through the situation where Arthur Smith was struggling at the beginning to play calls, then all of a sudden you had a quarterback position. He kept this team together. He kept this team together. He kept them focused. He didn't point fingers. He said, you know what, we got to stay focused on the task at hand. So I really take my head off to Mike Vrabel.
I will wait until today to take my cap off for Mike Vrabel. I think today is a big game for Mike Vrabel. I think today he needs to get this team into the playoffs.
But it's not his responsibility.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. If I'm a player and I don't get up big for this game, then I don't need to be in the NFL. That's not his job to say, "You, Chris, you need to do this. Chris, you need to do that." My mindset is like, you know what? I have a ball game to win. I have to make plays. I got to make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be and have that mindset of, hey, I'm about to hit somebody in the face. He shouldn't have to tell me that.
I think Mike has made a ton of really good decisions. He's made some that we've talked about, you know, the fourth downs and this and that and the other. But I think Chris brings up a good point. If you look back, you know, at 2-4 and the defense is playing lights out and the offense can't find a way to get out of their own way.
Yeah.
Sure. And yet there was none of this, oh, hey, you guys aren't playing good. We're playing, you know, it's none of that. There was no turmoil. There was no, they just kept going back to work, working at it day by day and improving. And then all of a sudden you make dramatic move with the quarterback. And there probably were guys in that locker room kind of went, oh, man, I don't know where this is going.
Remember on Monday, Byard said, oh, yeah, we think Mariota's the guy and Mariota's our man and we're behind him. Yeah. And then on Wednesday it was, hey, we believe in 17.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think there were guys that were still kind of, you know, we'll see how this works. Mm-hmm. And yet Vrabel never let him waver. You know, never let him, hey, this is going to work. I wouldn't have made the decision if I didn't think it was going to work. We'll be okay, and it's turned out okay.
And I think as a player, you got to take the personal feelings out. You know, you may like a quarterback more than you like the other quarterback, but you got to take the personal feelings out. Just like example, when Steve McNair was hurt and Neil O'Donnell came in, I like Steve McNair a lot. I really didn't know Neil O'Donnell, but I respected his position. So I just had to handle it as a professional that any quarterback's in there, I have to do my job, and that's exactly what these guys have done.
Today, they got to get past the Houston Texans. Before we give Vrabel any accolades, the Titans have got to beat the Houston Texans. We'll take a look at the four biggest stories of today's game. We'll go four downs coming up next. Titans and Texans win, and you're in as we are live at the George Jones for the pregame show. Time to take a look at scores around the NFL. The Jets, who have been red hot, and who the Tennessee Titans, by the way, need to send one of those, what is it, the three different kinds of popcorn tins? I think Mike Vrabel needs to go ahead and send Adam Gase one of those for two reasons. One, for Adam Gase screwing up so bad in Miami that they're able to get Ryan Tannehill. And two, for the win over the Steelers last week, go ahead and send them that popcorn tin. The Jets lead the Bills 3-0 that game in the second quarter. Freddie Kitchens hanging on for dear life. He trails the Bengals 20-10. In the second quarter. Would not be good for Freddie Kitchens to lose to the
No, it would not.
Oh, my God.
Matt Patricia got the vote of confidence. He'll be back next year. He and the Lions lead the Packers 7-0. The Chiefs just scored a touchdown. They lead the Chargers 10-7. Bears 11, Vikings 3. Dolphins 10, Patriots 10. Now, that's interesting to keep an eye on because if New England loses to Miami, and New England never plays well in Miami in December. If New England loses to Miami and Kansas City wins, Kansas City would then get the 2 seed. Mm. New England would flop down to the 3 seed. And if New England is the 3 seed, that means the Tennessee Titans with a win would head to Brady and Belichick next week.
Yes, sir.
And then that means that I'd get on Floyd's rear end about getting Belichick on the show, and I highly doubt Bill would come on that week. Falcons 13, as Dan Quinn's coming back next year. Bucks 7. And the Saints, Well, they put it on the Titans last week. They are putting it on the Panthers, 27-0 in the second quarter.
Let's go.
And I'll say this for Carolina, not that I care, but since the day since they fired Ron Rivera, they have gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and are now down 27-0 at the half. Those are your first half scores. The late games are the important games. Again, Titans win and they're in. Lose, you need Jacksonville to beat the Colts. You need the Ravens to beat the Steelers, both of those games at 325. And then on top of it, other games that matter, the Cowboys need to beat the Redskins today at 325, then need the Eagles to lose to the Giants in order for them to make it into the playoffs. Cardinals-Rams means nothing. And then 49ers-Seahawks, the NFC wild or the NFC playoff picture is all jumbled up. Wow. But that game is tonight. We're live from the George Jones. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5, the game. Titans and Texans today at 325 on CBS. Win, and the Titans go to the playoffs. Welcome back to the pregame show live from the George Jones. It is time now to take a look at the big four keys of today's game, the big storylines going into Titans and Texans. It is Four Downs presented by your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, and we start with First Down.
First Down.
Let the big dog eat. Derrick Henry last week inactive against the Saints to rest that hamstring. He says he is good and ready to go, and the hamstring is much, much better. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
How much do the Titans need out of Derrick Henry today?
They need a whole lot. I mean, you know this Texans defense is real tough, and if we could just get Derrick Henry going, I mean, it makes everybody around him better. It makes A.J. Brown better because he's going to get single coverage. It makes Sharp better. That's going to get single coverage because they're going to load the box. So it's just going to be really interesting to see how Derrick Henry, I know he's going to start off fast, first or second quarter, but I want to see how he's going to end up in the third and fourth quarter to see how that hamstring, you know, handles. So if Derrick Henry can be at full speed, I think the Tennessee Titans could be so successful on offense.
Yeah, I mean, he's a critical part of everything they do. And I think, you know, he's saying the hamstring is well, and everybody's saying he's ready to go. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is it doesn't matter, you know, he's going to have to go either way. And, you know, you just hope as a coach or a spectator or something, you know, you're just hoping that it is okay or that it can hold out or hold on or, you know, do whatever, because I mean, he's a critical part of everything we do.
You know, if I'm Arthur Smith, I wouldn't run too much on the outside so he wouldn't have to make so many moves. I mean, I'm coming down here, run some plays like power or things like that and put him in formations and put him to where he doesn't make so many cuts and run straight downhill.
I think just like the first Texan game, I do want to see how Derrick Henry looks when he gets out there early on. And they're not going to need Henry to break the 70-yarder today, although we always welcome that. But they are going to need Henry to be able to carry the load today, regardless of who the Texans play or don't play. And that takes us to second down.
Second down.
Who are the Texans going to play today? Now, the reports came out yesterday. A.J. McCarron will start today at quarterback for the Texans. DeAndre Hopkins is expected to be active but not play a lot in this football game. We saw the injury report on Friday from the Texans. Will Fuller is out. Everybody else who's a big-time player for them is questionable. So if Watson and Hopkins sit, I would expect to see Laremy Tunsil sit. I would expect to see Bradley Roby sit. I would expect to see Jahleel Adai sit. I would expect to see a lot of the guys who are questionable throughout the week not play today for the Texans. But that doesn't mean, Chris Sanders, that the Titans are necessarily for sure going to even beat the Texan backups.
I agree 100%. I mean, they still have some skilled players. I mean, Steels is going to play. Who can cover Steels?
Although Steels was questionable on the injury report all week as well, so he may be out. And if that's the case, you're looking at Kiki Kuti and DeAndre Carter at wide receiver.
But see, say that name, Kiki?
Kiki Kuti.
I'm telling you, that's the best name in America right there, Kiki. But I'm telling you, Kiki can go now. That joker can roll now because he was in O'Brien's doghouse for a while. But if you get him man-to-man on Logan, and if I'm A.J. McCarron, I'm throwing it down deep. Listen, I know a lot of guys from the Texans are going to be sitting out, but I think the Tennessee Titans can't approach this game like, well, you know, Watson is sitting out, Steels is sitting out, you know, Watkins is sitting out, or Watson is sitting out. It doesn't matter. They got to go on and say, I don't care if they're lined up on the other side, my job is to beat that guy across from me. And if the Tennessee Titans can do that, they can be successful. But if they're going in the game like, well, he's out and we got to change some things, no, we got to play Tennessee Titans football to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, we don't – right now it's all talk. I mean, we don't know anything about who's out unless they deactivate them, you know, here in 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is. And then we'll know who's out. But other than that, I mean, if they're not deactivated, they're going into the game, and I think you got to approach it like they're going to be the starters. Yeah. And then if at some point in time they aren't the starter, then we'll go from there.
The angle that I'm more focused on is I still think if you don't play good football, you can lose to A.J. McCarron and Kiki Kuti and DeAndre Carter, and you can still lose to that group of guys. I mean, you shouldn't lose to that group of guys, but the Dolphins this year traded all their good players away and have four wins. So, I mean, if and we talked about A.J. and what this means to him. You know, a couple years ago, he was a hot free agent commodity, signs a deal with the Bills to be their starter. Then they draft Josh Allen, ship A.J. off to Oakland. Now A.J.'s back to being a backup. A.J. would like to go out, light the Titans up, and make people think, you know, maybe A.J. could be a starter again. Or so. I'm not saying the Titans should lose or that it should be a battle. The Vegas line is the biggest line now. It's 7.5 points for the Titans. It's the biggest road line for the Titans since they went to the 0-16 Lions on Thanksgiving of 2008. So that's what Vegas thinks of the scenario. But just because they shouldn't lose to this group doesn't mean that if they don't play smart football that they can't lose to this group.
Oh, you go out, you make a couple of mistakes, you fumble a ball here or there, you throw an interception.
Miss field goals.
You drop a punt. Being that we have no punt returner, I would say that's a concern.
That may be what I'm saving for fourth
down. You drop two or three punts, now you're, you know, in trouble. So, I mean, there are a lot of ways. There's a zillion ways you can lose a game.
But look at the Texans. If you look at them, look at where they've been struggling. They've been struggling on offense. Look at the guys that are out on that's supposed to be out. They're on offense. The defense has been keeping them in the game. Look at when they played the Bucks last week. They got a pick six, and they got a couple of turnovers. That's why they won the game. Not because of the offense. It's because of their defense.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
Speaking of defense, the Titan defense, Floyd Reese, has just not been good lately. We know the injuries to the corners, and that will continue as Adoree Jackson is out for today's game for the Titans. Jeffrey Simmons will make a return to the lineup, but still not a lot on the pass rush end and not a ton on the cover end and not great in the red zone.
And therein, you know, lies the story. The bottom line is if you don't have your cover guys, then it changes everything you can do, you know, because you can't lock them up. You can't – we don't have anybody that can run with Still. We may not have anybody that can run with –
Kiki.
Yeah, we don't. So, you know, all of a sudden you're saying, okay, now we got to play zone. Well, if you're playing zone, high school quarterbacks can complete the ball in zone.
Right.
You know, and if you can't get any pass rush and knock the quarterback down, then guess what? They just stand back there and complete the ball. So, I mean, the defense has not played, you know, according to their standards, and yet this is not, you know, the same defense that we started the season with.
You know, the concern that I have, and you guys really hit it on the head, is we're not getting any pass rush. And if you're not getting any pass rush, just like what Floyd said, you know, you can play for the Brentwood Blaze and a quarterback and complete balls. Because, you know, everybody knows that A.J. McCarron is he's an average quarterback. But an average quarterback can kill you in this league if you have time to throw the ball. So we got to come in and get a pass rush. We got to stop the run because last time Carlos Hyde from The Ohio State University had 104 yards. So we can't go on this game thinking that just because these guys are out, we got to play consistent football.
How much do you think the pass rush has suffered since Adoree Jackson's injury because it does not allow Dean Pease to use Logan Ryan as a blitzer?
A ton. Yeah. I mean, but it's not just that. He can't play man for man. You know, you're playing zone all the time or some kind of combination coverage.
And we know the Titans might be the worst zone team in the league.
And you can't, you know, you're not able to bring that imaginative, secret, hidden, extra blitzer because he's too busy trying to cover guys that he's probably not fast enough to cover. You know, so, I mean, it's a nightmare for them. And I think what Dean's had to do is he's had to rely more heavily on down and distance and when can I get away with it? And, you know, if I need the blitz to get pressure, when's the right time to do it? Because if I call it at the wrong time, it's 7 points, you know. So, I mean, it's a real problem.
And if you look at if you look at the last game that they played against, the Texans played against the Titans, we went some zone. So when we go more zone, when I say zone, you go like a cover three or cover two, what's going to happen? The run game's going to open. That's why Carlos Hyde had 104 yards. So we got to figure out a way to try to go man-to-man. Not maybe man-to-man, maybe some man under to stay with these receivers.
And that takes us to fourth down.
Fourth down.
Fourth down, guys, is usually what?
Tannehill.
I think it's usually special teams. Oh. Oh. And here's the situation for the Titans on special teams. They have a Pro Bowl punter. I'll leave that at that. Punt returner. It looks to be Rashard Davis will be the Titan punt returner, called up off the practice squad. He was a punt returner at James Madison, which is, I believe, FBS or whatever it is. That's not, you know, the big boy college football, but still good enough. He has returned punts in college, never returned a punt in the NFL. Kickoff returns for the Titans. The Titans have brought Darius Jennings back in the mix, who led the league last year in the NFL in kickoff returns, except for the fact that he wasn't good enough this year to keep his job and was cut about 2 months ago. He's back to return kickoffs. Kicking off for the Titans, Greg Joseph could not get the ball to the end zone last week against the Saints. New Orleans on kick coverage, absolutely atrocious from the Titans, as New Orleans started with the ball at about the 45-yard line every time. And kicking, Greg Joseph has still not kicked a field goal for the Titans, although he was 4-for-4 on extra points. Floyd Reese, you've coached special teams for 20 years in the National Football League. How do you feel about special teams today?
Scared to death. I mean, you've got a kicker that's never kicked. You've got a kick returner that hasn't returned in, what, 10 weeks? You've got a punt returner that's never returned. You've got, I mean, it's a nightmare. You know, you talk about ways to lose a game. I just named three of them. And they each, you know, just one can do enough to lose you a game. I just named three possibilities. So, you know, you treble the issues you're going to have. I mean, it's really scary.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I mean, the special teams already sucks anyway. So now you're adding this to it, and it's a.
I don't know what else you could do. You know, you can't. I mean, we went through all our punt returners, and they're out. And so, you know, you've got to have somebody out there that's never really done it for you. And it's, I mean, it's a nightmare.
The one special team that really scares me, and it showed its ugly face last week, was the kickoff team.
Oh, the kick coverage is terrible.
Gosh. I mean, it was, you telling me you're going to give Breeze to start at the 40-yard line? Not once, not twice, but three times? I mean, that's a recipe for, you know, disaster. So, you know, I know we had some troubles on, you know, last time we played the Texans, we had a blocked field goal and we missed a field goal. You can't do that, because if you start doing those things on special teams, you take an average offense and you give them life.
Oh, yeah.
You give them life. And especially with, you know, A.J. McCarron starting his first game this year with zero completions, you start giving him good field position. You start giving him confidence. You start giving him to where he doesn't have to have long drives. Uh-oh.
Scary. I mean, it's, you know, there's so many ways to turn the ball over in special teams, and none of them are good, because mm-hmm. they all involve giant chunks of field position. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're punting from your 20, or they're punting to you from their 20, and they punt it to you standing on the 30, you drop the ball, now it's first and 10 on the 25.
Yeah, I mean, you'd rather throw an interception at their one-yard line and not score a touchdown than screw up on special teams.
I mean, it's scary.
And again, and I think Craig Aukerman, the special teams coach, should be fired at the end of the year. But, boy, this game he is playing with a deck that is maybe a third of the way full. I mean, he's got the punter, and that's really all he's got that, you know, they started the year with. By comparison, though, you keep saying the kicker's never kicked. He was the Browns kicker last year. By comparison,
like
to
I
the,
said, he's never kicked.
By comparison to the punt returner, he's Tom Brady compared to the punt returner. The punt returner's never caught a ball in the NFL.
He's in a grizzled vest.
I mean, that's the scenario they find themselves in. Those are four downs. We'll take a look at the Titans' offense. What does Ryan Tannehill, with Derrick Henry back in the mix, Corey Davis out of the concussion protocol, what do the Titans' offense, what do they need to do against the Texans? We'll get to that coming up next year on the pregame show. Interesting scores. I'm going to skip the games that don't matter, because that wastes everybody's time. So sorry, Jets, Bills, or Redskins, or what, like, sorry. But the Patriots and Dolphins are tied at 10 going into the half. A win for Miami and a Kansas City win would mean that Kansas City gets the 2 seed in the AFC, thanks in large part to Jerome Boger. Kansas City will get the 2 seed in the AFC, and the Titans with a win would go to New England. Other games. This game does matter to me because the Browns are losing to the Bengals 20-16 in the second quarter, and I wonder if losing to the Bengals will get Freddie Kitchens fired. I don't know. And all the other games matter later. We'll get to those as well. By the way, Green Bay.
Did you say Kansas City?
Oh, yes. Kansas City up 10-7 at the half. Mm. Also, the Lions up 14-3 over the Packers. Now, the NFC, the top of the NFC is all kinds of screwy with if they win and they lose and they. Seattle, San Francisco play tonight. The winner, in the case of San Francisco, could be the number one seed in the NFC playoffs. The loser has to go on the road to either Dallas or Philadelphia. So that's how big of a game that is. But
they may lose it on purpose.
So that could all play in different directions as well. So who knows as far as that's concerned. My dad asked me earlier today, and I'm sure a lot of Titan fans still totally aren't sure about this. They say, do the early games affect the Titans? The answer is no. Other than the New England-Kansas City situation, the early game does not affect the Titans whatsoever. All that matters is what the Titans do, and if they lose, then they would need a Steeler loss and a Colts loss in order to make the playoffs. Take a look at the offense. Coming up next, live from the George Jones, it is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The offensive playbook is presented by Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Ryan Tannehill and the Titan offense, I think, played pretty well in their first game against the Houston Texans. Unfortunately, Derrick Henry slowed by a hamstring injury in that game. Plus, Anthony Firkser's big drop led to a Texan touchdown, and the Titans could not make a field goal. We start with you, Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
We don't know who's in or who's out yet for the Texans on defense, but what did you take away from the first game with the Titans on offense, and what does the Titans offense need to do today against the Texans?
I mean, we said it the whole season that the Tennessee Titans started slow in that first game they played, and they were down 14-0. And the one thing that really, really hurt the Titans, when you're in the red zone, you got to score points. You can't have the situation where Firkser gets hit by safety and they take, you know, merciless way. But I just think that, you know, whoever the Texans are playing on defense, it doesn't matter. The Tennessee Titans got to do what they have done to get them to this position. Feed Henry the ball and get number 11 early involved in the game. And I think if the Tennessee Titans can do that, they can definitely be successful.
Floyd, what are we thinking? A.J. Brown had a huge day against the Texans in their first matchup. A lot of talk about A.J. Brown. He did have a touchdown last week, but only one catch for the rookie sensation.
Yeah, I mean, we need to, and I have no idea what they're going to do again because we don't know who's going to play. But, you know, the template is probably out on him now, which is go ahead and get up in his face, jam him. You know, he can't run, and so, you know, they'll not throw the ball to him. And so he's going to have to do something about that. You know, he's going to have to figure out a way, okay, if you're going to jump up, whether it's Roby or whoever it is, you're going to jump up and you're going to play me, man, I'm going to scald you. And until he can do that, then, you know, he's just another guy. So, you know, he's got some challenges from that standpoint. I think the offense overall, I think we saw, you know, the template for beating him, which is just what we do every day. That first drive in the third period, we, you know, 14 plays or whatever it was, 9 minutes, and, you know, Derek ran the ball, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 times, whatever it was. You know, we scored, they get the ball back, they punt into the end of the quarter. And I think that's what we, you know, that those are the things we need to do. I thought Tannehill played well in the first game because he's, you know, nothing looks too big for this guy. And so that's why I'm anxious to see him in a game of this caliber, because he's going to have to go out there, and we're going to have to just be ourselves, do what we do on offense. We don't have to be special. We don't have to, you know, we just need to do what we do very, very well, very focused, very efficient.
I think for A.J. Brown, I want to piggyback on a little bit about A.J. Brown. I think A.J. Brown's success is going to be dependent on how Arthur Smith uses him. I mean, if you look at Thomas last week, the receiver that played for the Saints, Look at how they use them. They use them on a perimeter. They use them in a slot. Sometimes they put them by himself in a single receiver. If A.J. Brown wants to go to the next level, he's got to know every position so Arthur Smith can put him in every position to use him. That's where his game is going to take, because when you're when you get a little bit of success at wide receiver, they're going to double you on the perimeter. That's what happened to me. I'm a speed guy. I go downtown, they're going to put a safety over top. But once you start moving guys in the slot and switching position, they can't double you because the defense pertains to what they're going to do.
Well, I wonder in your instance, I mean, you had an incredible rookie career. Mm-hmm. I mean, rookie season.
Thank you.
And your career then kind of bounced around a little up and down, and then you had a really good season in 2000. Mm-hmm. So in 95 and 2000 were probably your two best years in the league.
Yes.
What happened to you once you became the man in 95 as an all-rookie performer that I guess maybe that maybe you see A.J. about to have to fight through?
You know, it's funny because when I got in the league, I was a speed guy and I was still learning how to run routes. I didn't understand how to run routes. I just know I'll beat you on the go route, I'll beat you on the post, and if I catch a slant, I'll take it to distance. That's what I did. That was my mentality. But understanding how to be double coverage. If you look at Brown, they used to play with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's not a fast guy, he's not a big guy. But it's what he does at the top of the route. It's what he does with his eyes. He has a plan when it's cover two, cover three, when he's getting bracketed. That's when his game went to the second level. And until I understood that until 2000, then now my game elevated. And I hate to say this. I'm a better football player than I am now than when I played. If I would have known what I've known now, understand about cover two, cover three, if I got brackets, what am I looking for? How are they trying to cover me? If I would have known what I've known now, I would be a better player.
And I think that's probably true for all young receivers, mm-hmm. all young talented receivers, mm-hmm. because they come in the league and nobody knows about them and nobody cares about them. Here's another young receiver. And then all of a sudden he starts playing and they go, ooh, that guy's pretty good now. You know, and at a point in time, somebody says, okay, let's pay attention to this guy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now we're going to put Lattimore on him. You know, you go ahead and take him out of the game, and we'll deal with these other guys. And if they can do that, then that's where Chris is right. The next move for that young receiver is figuring out how I'm going to beat that.
Yep.
And until you get to that point, you remain just another guy. You know, that's kind of where he is now. I think he's done enough to get people's attention. And now, you know, we need to see, okay, how are you going to do it when they're putting their best cover guy on you? How are you going to do it when you're doubled, when you go through all those combinations?
That's a great point.
I wonder how the Texans are going to scheme it today because of what is not on the line for them. What kind of scheme do we expect? Like, I'd know that if they were to play for real today, Bill O'Brien would not let A.J. Brown take over the ball game like he did last time they played. But I could also see Billy O saying, hey, just cover it, just basic defense, and if A.J. goes off, A.J. goes
gonna do
off.
That. They ain't going to do that.
So what do you think they'll do to A.J.?
Man, they're going to play their style of football. They're not going to change anything. I mean, I know that a lot of their specific or skill guys aren't playing, but they're not going to change anything, especially on defense and offense. Just like what O'Brien said, he said, we're playing to win. I'm not going to let you, you know, just play a soft cover three and let you keep catching the ball. Man, are you crazy? Because they still need to have momentum going to the playoff. Because if you look at the last couple of games that the Texans have been playing, their offense they've been looking terrible. So if they look terrible now and try to go play next week, it might be one and done for those cats.
And, I mean, the truth is, in spite of who they play or how they're going to play them or any of that, I mean, they would take sheer joy in beating us.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a thrill for them. And I think that, you know, if, for example, if I'm Romeo, the defensive coordinator, Romeo Crennel, mm-hmm. I'm going to do some stuff now that maybe I don't normally do. I mean, you see this blitz, watch this. You know, can you pick it up? Let's see. I mean, because I don't, you know, there's no need saving it. And if you're lucky enough mm-hmm. that you hit him and you get a strip sack and, you know, we run it in for a touchdown, maybe we beat you.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think, you know, games like this, if I'm Vrabel, you've got to be alert for halfback passes, fake punts, fake field goals, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of double passes, reverses on kickoffs, any of that stuff.
Because it's coming.
Yeah, I mean, that's I remember us playing Indy one time and going in and, you know, like onside kicking every time. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, we didn't really have a great chance, so figure what the heck. We're going to do it all.
Might as well. Yeah. In that case, what about Tannehill? How do we feel about Tannehill today?
Man, Tannehill's been playing well. And the one thing I love about this guy is just how he's so poised in the pocket. When I say poised in the pocket, nothing rattles him. And just look at what he's doing, just to give the viewers a good picture of what I'm talking about. When he takes his 3- and 5-step drop, he's surveying the whole field. He's looking at his first and his second and his third read. I mean, just look at last week when he threw the touchdown to Sharp. Sharp wasn't even his first read, but he's surveying the defense, and he's taking what the defense is giving him, and that's why he's been so successful.
The thing I love is for the first time in a couple of years, and you know, we didn't really think about this earlier, but for the first time in a couple of years, I can watch other quarterbacks make throws and complete balls and things, you know, that are NFL caliber. And I feel like we can do that.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
I feel like, hey, we can do that. And I haven't felt that way for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you kept saying, well, because of this or because of that, you know, there was always a reason. And you know, come to find out, that may be the reason. But but Ryan can do all that stuff. And he does it with confidence, and he does it well.
Coming up next, we'll flip the script. We'll take a look at the defense for the Titans. A.J. McCarron, the one person we know will be in. We'll also have the inactives that will come out at some point. Who else may be out for the Texans? We'll discuss next as we're live from the George Jones. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. It is time now to take a look at the Titans defense presented by Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House here on the pregame show. Floyd Reese, we've talked about the problems the Titans defense has had. They'll be without Adoree Jackson again this week against the Houston Texans. What can they do against A.J. McCarron and the Texans defense?
Yeah, of course, the receivers that play will have a dramatic effect on that, you know, and we know that one of them is out for sure because I think he didn't play last week and has already been ruled out, Fuller. But, you know, they've still got Hopkins and Stills, and so, you know, you have to almost start in reverse. You start with, okay, who can we cover and who can we not cover? And after you get that narrowed down, then I think it tells you what you can do up front. You know, the really scary part is that we get stuck in a situation where we're in zone coverage all the time and we're not getting a rush, and now we let a guy like, you know, AJ turn into a Pro Bowl player. And yet there's not a great deal you can do about it. I mean, if it's not there, it's not there. And so you're hoping, I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, the offense and holding on to the ball and running the ball well and doing all that will eliminate a lot of the, you know, time of possession, give them limited times with the ball and limited times that the defense is kind of thrown out there.
Chris, what did you think of the Titans' defense in their first performance? They gave up 24 points, and they couldn't get the big stop when needed, but they did pick off Deshaun Watson in the end zone twice, and they did make some big plays. And again, 24 points when you're missing as much as they're missing against those three receivers, I thought was somewhat impressive.
I mean, it was okay, but we just didn't have any pass rush. I mean, when you don't have any pass rush, those receivers are going, you know, to be running scot-free. But, you know, the one thing that I was concerned about the last game is we missed a lot of tackles. I mean, if you miss a lot of tackles against those receivers and against those running backs, it can be a long day for you. I know we're talking about, you know, the receivers and everything, but I don't think A.J. McCarron is going to beat us. I think the guy that can beat us for the Houston Texans is Carlos Hyde. And the reason why I say Carlos Hyde, not just because he went to The Ohio State University, but he's running with an edge. He's running with a passion. And just imagine him being in this situation to where they're putting the game on your back and you can go out there and beat the Tennessee Titans. It just shows you can be an elite running back in this league.
Floyd, Harold Landry has 9 sacks on the year. He'll need one today to get to that magic number of 10. Why has he not been as effective maybe as he was earlier in the season? Is it the lack of help in the secondary? Is it the lack of Cameron Wake? What the Titans really need to get a spark from somebody. Now, Roberson had 2 sacks last week. We'll get to him in a second. But what do you think about Landry and where he's kind of been?
I think all of that. I mean, I think that, you know, the combination of him being the only guy and them realizing that he is the only guy, and they're making sure that they block him or chip him or do whatever it is they're going to do, and in combination with nobody else to take pressure off of him because Wake's not there, and we really haven't had anybody that would wake you up. And then, you know, having to play zone and having to be soft and having to be passive in the back end only buys time for the quarterback. And that's so that's – I mean, it's an ugly combination. And it's, you know, it's a concern against all these guys. You would love to say, hey, you just need to go out there and put pressure on him. And he would love to do it. You know, don't get me wrong. But there's a difference between what you want to do and what you can do.
And he's not getting any help. And if you look at Casey doesn't have that many sacks. Simmons is basically what you said, Floyd. He's just out there. And then you have Evans that is not not getting no sacks or not putting that much pressure. The teams are going to see which guy can beat us the most, which guy can hurt us the most. Landry. So what are we going to do? We're going to put two guys on you and keep you and limit you from making those sacks that you've been getting early in the season. Yeah.
What do we know about A.J. McCarron? He'll get the start today for the Texans at quarterback as they sit Deshaun Watson. He did play for the Bengals when Andy Dalton got hurt, played in a playoff game that he should have won had it not been for Pac-Man Jones. They probably would have won, Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man working together to lose that game for the Bengals. But other than that, has essentially been a career backup.
The one thing I know about McCarron is he has zero completions this year. That's the only thing that I know. I mean, we don't know. I mean, he hasn't played all this year because, you know, Deshaun Watson. But the only thing that I'm concerned about, this is a guy that's probably going to play with an edge on his shoulder. He's going to play maybe to audition for teams later on down the road to show that he can play in this league. That's the only thing that I'm scared about. I haven't seen his ability in the last couple of years. I don't know what he can do and what he can do. All I know is if you have a guy that's playing with an edge and that's audition for teams, he can be a scary guy.
And he's been one of those, just as you would imagine your backup to be, one of those real smart, hardworking, you know, do all the right things, make all the right decisions, mm-hmm. just not blessed mm-hmm. the way that a bunch of these guys are. So, you know, he'll go out there. I think Chris is exactly right. He'll go out there and he'll try to be efficient and effective, but he's also going to go out there thinking, well, you know what, I can't make a mistake here. I got to be sure I don't throw the ball to where they can intercept it, and maybe that helps us. You know, maybe it gives us a little bit more time, and maybe we're able to put some pressure on.
And we got to take away his confidence early. I mean, absolutely early. I mean, I know we don't want to go man-to-man and cover zero on the back end, but if we just put everybody in the box and send everybody on the first play so he can be antsy in the pocket, that can be – to where that'll be an advantage for us.
We got who's in and who's out. The inactives are out. We'll get to that coming up. Of course, we'll take a look for the Texans at who's not playing for them. Meanwhile, scores around the NFL that do affect the Titans, and we'll get to all of them in general, but the ones that affect the Titans, Miami leads with 5:23 to go in the third quarter. Miami leads the Patriots 17-10. The Patriots, though, are driving inside Dolphin territory. That is important for the Titans because if Kansas City wins, where the Chiefs right now have a 17-14 lead over the Chargers, and what may be Phillip Rivers' last game, if Kansas City wins and New England loses, the Titans, with a win, would go to New England next week for the first week of the playoffs. And again, the Patriots have never won the Super Bowl in which they did not get a first-round bye. So that is at least on the docket there. And then other games that would affect the Titans are all later today. The Jets lead the Bills 3-0 that game into the third quarter. The Panthers trail the Saints 35-3. The Bengals lead the Browns 20-16 that game in the third quarter. Now, another interesting game, Lions 17, Packers 3 in the third quarter. And I believe the Patriots have just scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
So they will, pending an extra point, tie the Dolphins. But the Packers could be the number one seed in the NFC playoffs today, depending on what happens in San Francisco, Seattle. But with a loss, would be looking at the possibility of playing next weekend on Wild Card Weekend. So that's another aspect that throws a wrench into it as the Packers trail the Lions 17-3 in that game. All the other games don't matter. Jared, the GM, Chris Sanders. It is the pregame show live from the George Jones downtown, week 17. When and you're in, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we are an hour and a half away from kickoff week 17. Win and you're in. Titans and Texans live from the George Jones, Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Floyd Reese. Titans and Texans. And, of course, we'll still keep you updated all throughout the league. Kansas City starting to put it on the L.A. Chargers with a touchdown there for Kansas City. They go up and they take a 24-14 lead in the third quarter. The Patriots have tied it with the Dolphins 17 all 4:26 to go in the third quarter there. In and out today for the Titans. Out. Corner Adoree Jackson, wide receiver Adam Humphries, wide receiver Khalif Raymond, wide receiver Cody Hollister, defensive lineman Matt Dickerson, defensive lineman Isaiah Mack, and offensive lineman Kevin Pamphiel, who will now go the entire season without being active for a single game.
So Pamphiel's not activated?
No. Shocker, shocker.
You were open.
No idea why he's on the team.
No idea.
No clue why he's still on the team.
Talked about as a starter.
Did not active for one game. And it's not like the offensive line was the best offensive line in football and there just wasn't a place for him. I mean, let's be honest. Kevin Pamphiel inactive the entire season long. Now, here's where it gets interesting. For the Texans, out today, inactive. Wide receiver Kenny Stills, wide receiver Will Fuller, cornerback Bradley Roby, outside linebacker Jacob Martin, inside linebacker Benardrick McKinney, tackle Laramie Tunzel, and defensive lineman DJ Reader. So literally every big starter for their team is out today, except for Whitney Mercilus, Deshaun Watson, who will be the backup to A.J. McCarron, and DeAndre Hopkins, who I have no idea why DeAndre Hopkins is active today.
Means absolutely zero.
I think it means a lot.
It means a lot.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if he's got some kind of incentive or, you know, you just don't know. But, I mean,
it's NFL.
At least it narrows down, you know, what you have to be concerned about. Well, so it certainly helps you on defense.
Would that change the defense of DMPs, you think?
Yeah. Well, that's where I was going to go with Floyd, is now that it comes down, and I know that during the week you have to prepare to play their starters because what you don't want to do is prepare to play their backups and all of a sudden. But now it comes down, you get the sheet, and it says all these guys are out. Mm. How does it change both game plans? But we'll start with the defensive game plan, knowing that there is no Fuller and there is no Stills.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're still going to be afraid of doing some of the things that you were afraid of before. But I think you're going to feel better about what it's forcing you to do, simply because you've got backup receivers and a backup quarterback. You know, so you're saying to yourself, okay, you know, I feel more confident in us being able to play some zone. Yeah. Without Tunzel in there, you say, okay, I feel more confidence in our pass rush. I think Landry can beat whoever's going to line up and tackle now. So some of those things, I think, give you hope that it may in fact work. I think it's a giant plus for Dean.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just saying, if I'm Dean Pease, I'm going strictly man-to-man across the board, and I'm sold out to stop the run. Because if you look at those guys that are not in there, Hyde is still in there. So who's your most dangerous threat? It's Hyde. So I'm just going to stop him, go man-to-man outside, and that's all she wrote. But you still got to play the game. I know all these guys are out and some of our guys are out. You still have to play the game.
Well, I got to believe Hopkins isn't going to play a lot today. I mean, it may be an incentive clause. It may be Hopkins just wants to play every game so he can continue a streak of games played or something like that. But I doubt you're going to take all those guys out and leave DeAndre Hopkins in there in case something can happen to him. So I don't think you're going to see Hopkins out there. I wonder how much you're really going to see of Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
You know, he had an ankle injury as well. You can only deactivate so many guys.
Yeah. And I mean, you're talking about seven guys that you can deactivate.
And they don't have a Pamphiel, who they have to deactivate every single week for some reason, who takes the spot. So, again, I think this shows you what the Texans are going to do. I mean, look, the Texans are not putting their best foot forward in this game. We get it. The Titans last week in a game that didn't have a ton of meaning to them, the Titans didn't put their best foot forward. They rested Derrick Henry. They rested Jeffrey Simmons in that game. Both those guys are going to go today. I guess the way I look at it is – I'm thankful to Bill O'Brien and the Texans for sitting their guys. Right. But that still doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to beat the Texans. Right. Because they still have guys that are in the NFL that are going
to
be playing.
I mean, you still have to play the game. I mean, if you look at when we played the Kansas City Chiefs, all three of us was like, the Tennessee Titans have no chance. The only way the Tennessee Titans will win is if the Kansas City Chiefs do something wrong. If they have a fake field goal that doesn't work, if they have a block kicked or whatever, missed field goals, that's exactly what happens. So any way the Tennessee Titans will lose is if they do exactly what we did when we played the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I think this maybe changes a little bit from, okay, how are we going to score 40 points yeah. to, you know, don't screw it up, guys.
Right, right.
You know, all of those things we talked about before, punt returner, just catch it. Don't
Please.
Worry about gaining 1 yard. We don't care about that. Kick returner, just catch it. We don't worry about any of that stuff. You know, field goal kicker, just put it through. I think that takes, you know, it helps you with those guys a little bit from the standpoint that you don't have to, you can go to them and say, we don't need anything out of you other than catching a ball. Just catch a ball.
How does a game like this, you know, where Houston is clearly not trying their hardest to win, how does the early part of the game affect the rest of the game? I feel like if the Titans get up early on Houston, then Houston's just going to pack it in and just say, we're not trying to win. We're not going to win. Just pack it up. Go home. Get ready for the playoffs. Tennessee, congratulations. Get ready for New England or Kansas City. Whereas if it's a close game, then you'll see those guys like McCarron and Duke Johnson and Kiki Kuti and DeAndre Carter and Jordan Akins and those guys that are going to be trying their damnedest to pull off the upset.
Sure. I mean, they're going – and those guys are quality players.
They are.
You know, those guys – I mean, we've seen those guys perform and perform at a very high level. So, I mean, you're going into it – I mean, you hope that, you know, there'll be some of those players that'll be thinking, okay, you know what? Just survive this thing, man. You know, just get through. And if you got a hammy that's a little bit tight, you say, hey, you know what? This isn't feeling real good right now. And let somebody else play. But if you're the Titans, you got to go out there, like I said, with your hair on fire.
No Tunsil, no Watson probably, which means DeAndre Hopkins. Let's say DeAndre doesn't play a ton today. And it's a lot of DeAndre Carter and Kiki Kuti. Does Dean Pease now change the defense? Because you're probably going to double DeAndre Hopkins. Well, Hopkins isn't out there. Then does that just change everything you're trying to do? Or what really changes specifically?
No, it'll change what you're going to do against Hopkins, of course. And I think, you know, like Chris, what Chris wants to do, I think I'd take the safety that I was going to use to double him and put him in the box.
Yeah.
Say, okay, you know, go ahead and run it if you want and go from there. But at least it gives him those options. Because when Hopkins is on the field, I mean, even today, I mean, I don't know how long he's going to play, if he's going to play. But if he steps on the field, he will be doubled.
Yeah.
You know, which means that now, you know, the running game, and that's what hurt us so much the last game. You know, we were doubling him, and then all of a sudden the running game gets going a little bit. Because they've got a little bit of an edge. So now we got to take the safety and put them in the box. So what happens? Well, Hopkins goes off for 100. You know, that's the predicament that you would be in.
And we can't give them any life, Floyd.
Yeah.
When they walk into the stadium, don't give them life. When they're warming up, don't give them life. If you give them any life, you're going to be in a dogfight, just like what New England is with Miami.
And it's going to be close early. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, we're not going to jump out and score 17. It's not going to be 17 to nothing with, you know, 6 minutes gone or something like that. I mean, you know, that's not going to happen.
Right.
But I think the longer it goes and the longer they see the light and, you know, now here's another 7 points and now here's a field goal. And now all of a sudden into the first half, we do have 17. Now they're saying, okay. I see it.
Meanwhile, scores in the NFL, the big ones early, Chiefs 24, Chargers 14, that game in the third quarter, although the Chargers are in Kansas City territory. New England and New England and the Dolphins are tied 17 all at the end of the third quarter. A New England loss and a Kansas City win and a Titan win would mean Tennessee goes to New England in the first round of the playoffs. Chris, who would you rather play in the first round?
I would rather play
New England or Kansas City.
New England. I would rather play Tom Brady and those guys because they're struggling on offense right now. But the Kansas City Chiefs, man, they can put up 70 up on you in 2 minutes.
Floyd, who would you rather play?
Just get me there.
Okay, but let's say you have a choice.
I love Floyd.
Get me there. Yeah, that'll be a discussion for next week.
No, it won't be a discussion for next week because next week it'll already be made as to who you're playing.
Yeah. So whoever it is, that's who we talk about. I don't care. I really don't care. Yeah. I just want to get in. Yeah. Get invited to the dance. That's all that matters to me. Then once you're in the dance,
now you
select who you dance with.
I agree with you there, Mr. Reese.
I don't. I want to play New England because, again, New England struggling to score points. Titans struggling to stop teams that score points. It took a handful of miracles for you to beat Kansas City at home a month ago, and it's not going to happen again on the road at Kansas City. And on top of that, Kansas City has not lost a game since they came here and lost to the Titans in the miracle field goal game, as I call it, against the Chiefs. They have not lost a game. That's how good Kansas City has been. I want no part of Kansas City. In fact, the path the Titans would have if, again, Kansas City wins and the Dolphins pull out the upset and let's say Titans go to Patriots, the path of Patriots, Ravens, I'd rather have than having to play Kansas City.
But before all that, we got to win. I'm with Floyd.
I know, but that game's not happening right now.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, we got to win.
But I would argue that for the Titans, who they match up with, yeah. I would argue Kansas City is the worst team in the AFC that you'd want to play.
Because their skill position, our skill on defense, secondary terrible. Is not terrible. They just got better skill guys.
You can't rush the passer. I mean, I don't know how you'd put up a fight against Kansas City unless Andy Reid just chokes it like, unfortunately, Andy has done in his career in the playoffs. But I'm telling you all right now, I think Kansas City is the team to beat in the AFC.
They're tough.
They really are good. I mean, there's no doubt. But that's going to be so wide open now. And the thing that always affects the playoffs is who comes out of this game and the next one and the one after that healthy. Mm-hmm. And we experienced that this Super Bowl year more than anybody else. You know, we go into the championship game, and we're playing great, and we're on our way, and we're in the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden, you know, one safety goes down, and then all of a sudden another safety goes down, and now you've got guys playing back there that shouldn't be playing, and they're throwing touchdown passes, and it costs you a Super Bowl win, you know. So that is always a factor, and you have no clue where that's going and what's going to happen between now and whenever you're going to play them.
We'll check in with Teron Davenport. TD is live in Houston. What's the latest from NRG Stadium as the Texans have rested half their team? We'll discuss that with TD coming up next, plus keep you updated on what's going on around the NFL and how it pertains to the Titans. That's all next, plus what Jimmy Johnson had to say about the Titans. We'll get into that as well. Jared, Floyd, and Chris live from the George Jones. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the George Jones as the Titans and the Texans get set for a Week 17 battle. The Dolphins have the football into the fourth quarter, tied at 17. Meanwhile, Kansas City starting to pull away from the L.A. Chargers. A Kansas City win, a Titans win, a Kansas City win, and a New England loss would mean the Titans would head to Foxborough next week in the playoffs. And a man who I think is very comfortable in Houston, Texas right now, who would be a lot colder if he had to go to Foxborough next week, is our own Teron Davenport, TDESPN.com. TD, the Texans have packed it in and are ready for the playoffs. What was the feeling in the stadium when the inactives came out with the Texans deactivating most of their team?
Well, there wasn't really any set feeling. I mean, it's been business as usual for these guys. I do notice a lot of peeking up at the scoreboard while they're doing their pregame warm-up stuff. So it's just been business as usual. They know what's in front of them. win this game, and then you're going in. So that's what the focus is.
TD, what do we make of DeAndre Hopkins being active today? We know Deshaun Watson is active, but he's going to be the backup quarterback behind A.J. McCarron. And yet, Kenny Stills is inactive. Will Fuller is inactive. A lot of the main players for the Texans will not play today. Should we expect to see DeAndre Hopkins out there a lot today?
I don't know about a lot. I think you'll see him some. And you have to remember, Kenny Stills, I believe he had a hamstring or a knee. I forget exactly which one it is, but he had an injury. Like, he was on the injury report with a legit injury. And then Will Fuller, he was already ruled out after the groin injury that he suffered against the Bucs. So Hopkins, he had the illness. He was limited. But, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with getting him out there and getting him some snaps today. I mean, I don't think that he's going to play a lot, but that's just kind of the thing. A lot of these guys who are inactive actually have injuries, you know, that need to be rested. You know what I mean? Bradley Roby with the hamstring. It's just, it goes on and on.
TD, what do we know about the receivers that are going to be playing for Houston?
I know DeAndre Carter. I remember him from when I was in Baltimore. He was an undrafted free agent. He loved Steve Smith. He loved him. He's a guy that he does their punt returns. He's not bad. I'm trying to think of who else is on that roster, honestly. Let's see. I can't think of who else is on there.
So Kiki Kuti's been an inactive the last couple of weeks and has been in Bill O'Brien's doghouse. But he's put up good numbers before in the past.
Yeah. I mean, last year he had a pretty good stretch.
TD, I personally, the old special teams coach is coming out in me, and we've got a kick returner that hasn't returned a kick in 10 weeks. We've got a punt returner that's never returned a punt, and we've got a field goal kicker that's never kicked a field goal for the Titans. Is it a legitimate concern?
I would say yes. It's something to be somewhat concerned about. And the good thing is this is a game where they can kind of get it ironed out for next week, you know, provided that they win this week. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. There's a lot of uncertainty. At least Darius Jennings, I mean, when he was back there returning kicks, he was legit. You know, this is a guy who led the league in kickoff return average last year. So that's something, you know. I'm going to tell you this, too. Rashard Davis is not a bad football player. I remember him when I was in Philly. He was there for a moment, and he's not bad. I mean, it's just going to come down to staying ready so you never have to get ready and taking advantage of this opportunity in front of him.
Yeah, just looking at the Tennessee Titans offense, you know, A.J. Brown had one catch last week. What does Arthur Smith need to do to get him involved early in the game?
Well, I would work that play action, that slant. I would get some of those, because you know how it is as a receiver. You need to get your hands on it early. So I would get him some easy catches, run those screens, you know, and those different type of situations to get him the ball quickly. The good thing is there is no Marshon Lattimore this week, you know, so that would definitely help things out. But I'll say this, he and Lattimore, they were going back and forth. Although he had one catch last week, he still was winning, you know. So that's something to definitely make sure you take note of. But he needs – just over 70 yards to hit 1,000, and I think that's something that they focus on getting them.
So how do you feel about Henry? Henry didn't play last week. You know, everybody concerned about his injury. You know, how do you think he's going to impact this game? You think he's going to get 25 to 30 carries, or they just kind of ease him into the offense?
I think he's going to get 20 to 25 carries. I don't know about the 30 mark. Okay. I think this is really a game for Ryan Tannehill to you know, show what he could do. But as far as Henry's concerned, I will say this. When he when we saw him during individual period, he actually did a little bit more than he has done in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing when it comes down to, you know, seeing these guys come out after that hamstring injury. And I will say this, the specialist just came out, and A.J. Brown came out with them. So this is something that we definitely need to take note of, because there was a report by Deanna Rossini that he was going to possibly return punts today. He has not came out with the specialist at all this year. This is the first time he's doing it.
TD, Teron Davenport is in Houston. We'll keep an eye on that. TD, who do you think the Titans would match up better with in the first round of the playoffs if they win, Kansas City or New England?
Oh, man. You know what? I think Kansas City. I think Kansas City. You know, being from Philly, I've seen firsthand too many times the streak of unfortunate things that happened to Andy Reid in the playoffs. But more importantly, I just think this team and their physical mentality, they could go into Kansas City, and if they punch them in the face early, I think they could continue to load that and leave Arrowhead Stadium with the win. So if I had to pick one of the two, I would say Kansas City.
Well, TD, hopefully we're talking to you from one of those two places next week. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us all season long on a pregame show, TD.
Thanks,
for
TD.
Sure. Appreciate my pleasure, man.
Happy New Year to you as well, Teron, as we'll hopefully be checking in with TD next week from either Foxborough or Kansas City. It is pretty crazy to think, you know, that this could be our last pregame show of the year. We also could have four more pregame shows after this pregame show. So who knows in that regard. By the way, looking up A.J. Brown. Floyd, you're going to love this. A.J. Brown career college stats. A.J. has 7 punt returns in his career as a sophomore at Ole Miss for a total of 47 yards. That's 6.7 yards per return. And there is a possibility that A.J. Brown with 7 career punt returns could be back returning punts for the Titans.
Yeah, but he's just going to catch the ball. That's it. He's not going to.
That's it.
That's
precautionary.
God,
somebody that could catch
it.
I mean, really, if it was us and we got down this far, you know who we put back there? Bruce Matthews.
before Chris?
Maybe not before Chris. But, I mean, Bruce could do everything. Yeah,
sure
he
could
catch it. Yep. So you stick it back there and say, Bruce, just catch it, big guy.
Well, I asked you the other day, how far away are we from Jonnu Smith catching a punt?
No.
And
no.
I think we're getting close.
That's
catching
a punt. Monster. It's totally different.
Totally different.
Could you catch a punt?
That'd be negative.
Did you ever try to catch a punt?
No. You got to have a different mentality, man.
Did Coach Fisher ever say, "Hey, Chris, we want to see you on punt return"?
I would ignore them.
I'm sure that would have gone over well, Floyd.
It's tough now. Returning punts.
That's a whole different monster, man.
It's a whole new world.
So here you go. For Rashard Davis, who is active today, Rashard Davis, in terms of punt returns, he did do that in college. So he did return punts. A.J. Brown only returned 7 punts. Like, that's 7 punts for 47 yards.
That's comfortable.
And that's who you're going to put back there today to return punts?
It's just to catch
Much
it,
less
man.
Also your best receiver. So if something happens to him returning a punt, now you've lost your best receiver. Surely there's a guy who doesn't have a job right now who's actually caught punts in the league who the Titans could have signed this week just to return punts.
Let me educate you on this. He's probably not going to start it, but if the guy in front of him fumbles it, he's going to take him out. He's going to tell him to fair catch it. That's what that's all about.
I think they're telling both of them to fair catch it now.
Just catch it. Or get out of the way.
I do know one free agent who has been a successful punt returner in their career, and he wears number 84.
Who's that?
And he wouldn't wear 84 here, but he wore it in Pittsburgh, and he's a little nuts. A.B. What would have to happen for you to sign A.B. To return punts? You'd run A.J. Brown back there before you'd sign A.B. and say, A.B., your only job is to return punts.
Yeah.
I mean, the second you sign him, the guy goes on the commissioner's exempt list, won't be able to return a punt anyways.
It's useless.
Coming up next, picks to click. Who needs to click for the Titans? Today on the road at Houston, win, and the Titans are in against the Texans. We will get to our picks to click coming up next. Scores from around the league. Inside the Patriot 15-yard line, the Miami Dolphins are driving with 8 minutes and change to go in Foxborough. Again, a Dolphin win and a Chief win would give Kansas City the number 2 seed. It would give New England the number 3. In the other game, the Chiefs 24, the Chargers 14. That game in the fourth quarter, the Packers are starting a comeback. Down 17-10, they're inside Detroit's 25 with 12 minutes to go in that ballgame. The Bengals, who haven't scored a point all year, are up 30-16 over the Browns. Saints 42, Panthers 3, Jets 10, Bills 3. Good finish to the season for the Jets. And the Buccaneers lead the Falcons 22-16. Again, the situation for the Titans: win and you're in. If the Titans lose, they would need a Steeler loss and a Colt loss in order to get into the NFL playoffs. Also, a score update: it is now Dolphins 20, Patriots 17 with 8:29 to go. Again, a New England loss and a Kansas City loss would drop New England down to the 3, and would, or a Kansas City win would make Kansas City the 2, and the Titans, if they win, would go to Foxborough in the first round of the playoffs. We're live from the George Jones. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. And it is time now for Picks to Click. Picks to Click presented by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. Who has got to click today for the Tennessee Titans and a win over the Houston Texans? Again, the Texans resting their starters for the Titans. Derrick Henry is active and is good to go. We start by taking a look at last week's Pick to Click, Picks to Click, and none of us really hit on it at all. Chris Sanders, you had Corey Davis and Harold Landry. Floyd had Arthur Smith and Dean Pease, since Floyd does not like playing the game how you're supposed to play the game. Floyd does not like to do that. And yours truly had, I had Le'Veon Bell with the Jets, which you guys said I couldn't do. I took Deion Lewis. He didn't really do much. And I also had Kenny Vaccaro, who did not do much. So, Chris, we start with you. Offensively, who is your pick to click today for the Titans?
I am going to go with Derrick Henry. I mean, that's the obvious call. Is because, I mean, he's the kettlebell of your offense, and it all depends on what he does. If he's healthy enough to go to four quarters, I'm going with Henry. Why you give me that look?
Well, you just were the one that was worried about him resting his hamstring and how he'd come back.
That's the reason why.
And
I'm
so now
him.
He's back in there, and now you feel good about him for that.
I'm not saying I feel good about it. I mean, if he has a big game, then the Tennessee Titans are going to win.
Okay, who's your defensive pick?
I did pick Landry, but I picked him last week, so you can't pick him two times in a row. I'm going with Simmons. Simmons needs to have a big day. I mean, he's been non-existent these last couple of weeks. He needs to step up and have a big game and make A.J. McCarron's uncomfortable in the pocket.
Floyd, Chris going with the two guys who were off last week for the Titans, sitting to rest up for this game. Who are you going with today?
I will go with Tannehill on offense for the obvious reasons.
You killed me when I picked Tannehill.
he's going to have to end up taking this thing over at some point in time, and I'm sure he will. And on defense, I think I'm going to go with Brown, simply because if in fact we can cover the outside guys, that means those tight ends are going to become a real issue, or the running backs checking down, the running backs underneath. And we're going to need somebody that we have that can cover, you know, the tight end or the running back or whoever it is coming out. So I think there'll be some pressure on him.
I think that's a pretty good choice with Jayon Brown. I'm going off the board today for my offensive pick. You guys are going to think I'm crazy, but he needs to redeem himself against the Texans. And with Tannehill, it feels like every week somebody else has had a new guy every week.
Davis.
I was thinking about Davis, but I'm going Anthony Firkser today as my pick to click. I believe after his drop that cost the Titans the first game against the Texans, Firkser will redeem himself today. Plus, without Bernardrick McKinney in the lineup, who's going to be able to cover all these guys the Titans have without Bradley Roby, without Bernardrick McKinney, without Jahlil Adai, who I know is active, but how much will he play? I wonder if there will be some good matchups. We know they're going to take A.J. Brown, try to take him away, not let him dominate. Firkser is a guy I think Tannehill goes to. And unlike the last game, I think he actually catches the ball.
Be nice. That'd be sweet.
Hey, all I'm asking for the Titan players to do is just catch it. Punt returner, just catch it. Firkser, just catch it. Guys, just catch it. I'm going to go Rashawn Evans on defense. Okay. Rashawn Evans has not done a ton this year. I've actually been kind of disappointed with how he's played this season. And maybe it's because the numbers aren't there, or maybe it's – I'm not sure why he struggled this year, but as a guy the Titans traded up for, he was supposed to be a guy that could clean up everything in the run game and cover these tight ends on defense. And I think the Texans, we will see a big dose of Carlos Hyde in the running game. And so I believe Rashawn Evans will have to be the guy who steps up to make some stops.
Okay.
We got the linebackers covered.
Yeah, we do.
I do wonder, though, is Evans done enough? Like we're talking about, we know Simmons hasn't done enough, you know, this season, even though this year we thought it was going to be a redshirt year for Simmons, and then he comes back to play and so on and so forth. Do we feel like he's done enough talking about Evans in his second year?
For me, no. And I don't, you know, I think he goes out and he makes his tackles, and that's all well and good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And as a middle linebacker, that's going to be important. I think the thing that I was hoping to see, you know, judging from people when he came out, talking to guys that had been with him, are some big plays.
Yeah.
You know, we're not getting sacks. We're not getting caused fumbles. We're not getting fumble recoveries. Not getting interceptions. We're not getting any of those really impact plays. And that's, you know, on defense, that's kind of your lifeblood. So, you know, I'm a little bit disappointed. That's why I think, you know, a guy like Brown has been a bigger factor, because he does periodically come up with a big play. You know, he can get sacks. He can cover guys. He can intercept the ball. So I expected more, you know, from him that way. But same thing with Adoree. Yeah. What about Adoree?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was as big a disappointment for me this year as, and I'm an Adoree fan.
Oh, I'd argue the other way.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
what they've missed without Adoree, when Adoree's been on the lineup, makes you realize how much Adoree brings to the football team.
It's a speed.
Well, yeah, but he's not there. So it doesn't matter.
Well, you're hurt.
Well, I don't care. I'm saying he didn't play early well at all. Had kind of a spell there where for 2-3 games he started to come back. Then he gets hurt.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he's been a non-factor.
I think Evans has played okay. I mean, he made a big scoop and score against the Chiefs. But other than that, he's been non-existent. So it's okay, and I know the stats aren't there, but we need to feel him more on the field.
New England has scored a touchdown with 3:53 to go in the ballgame, a third down screen to James White. For a touchdown for the Patriots, they lead the Dolphins 23-20 pending an extra point. Meanwhile, again, a Patriot loss and a Chief win would put Kansas City into the two-hole. Meanwhile, Kansas City still taking care of business against the L.A. Chargers. They lead that game 24-14 as that game is winding down, under 7 minutes to go. In that, the Lions lead the Packers 20-13, 13 minutes to go in that ball game. Saints all over the Panthers 42-10 in the later games. All affect the Titans are later today. What were Mike Vrabel's keys to a Titan victory? We'll get to that next. Plus, our keys to the game and our game day picks one last time, at least on the pregame show. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. That game not over. Kansas City leads 24-21, 5 minutes to go in that. And the Patriots lead 24-20 over the Dolphins. That game, 3:53 to go left. And again, that's the 2 and the 3 spot, which only matters to the Titans if Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
It only matters if.
The Titans win.
If the Titans win, and they're in today. Against the Houston Texans, 3:25 on CBS. By the way, a bunch of coaches are about to get fired tomorrow.
Today.
And I do wonder who should survive the cut. And I would ask Floyd, but I know he's not going to give me any definitive answer. But it sounds like Doug Marrone in Jacksonville is out.
I thought he was already out.
No, Coughlin got fired.
Oh, Coughlin, there you go.
So
I saw a report that said he was out.
Right,
then,
that's what I heard.
Then a spokesman for Khan came on and said, it's absolutely 100% false.
Okay.
Then I saw it again today that he was out.
That's what I heard.
So nobody knows.
I mean, if you put it out there, you're only 50% right or wrong. It's like if I came out today and said, my sources are telling me Anthony Lynn is going to be fired, there's a 50% chance I'm right tomorrow. I don't know. Anthony Lynn with the Chargers is one of them, who I think is kind of up in the air. Jason Garrett, I believe, is probably out tomorrow in Dallas. Obviously, Washington and Carolina will be looking for new coaches as well. And then the big question is Freddie Kitchens in Cleveland. Does Freddie Kitchens stick around? And if recent history in Cleveland says anything, the answer would be yes. Because when it's obvious that they need to fire the coach in Cleveland, they don't fire the coach. See Hugh Jackson. And when it's obvious to keep the coach, see Greg Williams, they fire the coach. So that's just what Cleveland does, and that's who they are.
Doing the unexpected.
Yes, sir.
They love doing that. Meanwhile, it's time for Mike Vrabel's keys to a Titans victory today against the Texans. His first thing is the Titans have got to be prepared to win a close ball game today.
And understand that that's okay. If that's what the game we're in, you know, the Texans have played 11 one-score games. You know, they're 8-3. So we played them a close game, didn't get the win. They played a close game in Tampa. That's how these games are in the National Football League, whether one team's up or one team's down. So, you know, we have to be prepared situationally. When you talk about one-score games, it's things that come down to the end of half and running those situations, you know, very well.
I know what he's preaching, Floyd, but I hope with all these guys out for the Texans today that it is not a close and one-score ball game, and yet I am completely prepared if it is one-score ball game today.
Especially early. I mean, you know it's going to be close early, and then, you know, hopefully at some point in time you'll be in a position where maybe you can expand things a little bit. But you know, if you can't, then you got to be prepared to come down and kick a field goal to win or – you know, block a field goal if you've got it to stop them from winning.
Yeah, and he's also saying that, you know, just like last week, they started fast, but they didn't finish fast. And this week, they got to start fast and finish, regardless of who's playing and who's not playing. So I think that's definitely what he's saying.
Meanwhile, Mike Vrabel's second key today for the Titans, if they're going to pull this out against the Houston Texans, is he believes they have got to win at the line of scrimmage.
I think when you get down to these games and you have to get back to fundamental football. You have to be able to stop the run. You have to be able to control the line of scrimmage. Our defensive line, it's going to be a great challenge. They have a very good running game with the quarterback included in that. And for us, it's going to be a great challenge. You know, those guys do a great job. Reeder, Blackson, Whitney Merciless, Cunningham, McKinney. You know, if we can't win up front at the line of scrimmage, it's going to be hard for us to do the things that we want to do offensively.
Meanwhile, DJ Reader is out today for the Texans, and Bernardrick McKinney is out today for the Texans, but Vrabel talking about how important it will be for the Titans, Chris,
yes,
to win the line of scrimmage today.
I mean, you have to. I mean, if you win at the line of scrimmage, you're definitely going to win the game. And number one, you got A.J. McCarron that hasn't really played a lot of football, and you put pressure on him, he's capable of making those mistakes. I mean, I know he talked about the running game, but if the Tennessee Titans, like with Simmons and Casey and Landry, can put pressure on McCarron, he's definitely going to make some mistakes.
Floyd?
And I mean, we're going to want to run the ball, which means our offensive line is going to have to block those guys. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to run the ball, which means our defensive line has got to thump those guys. Mm-hmm. So Mike is probably absolutely right. I mean, it's going to be – that will be one of the, if not the key factor in the game, just because of the identity of the two teams. And I would have to imagine with A.J. at quarterback, they're even going to want to run the ball more. So now it's going to put more pressure on your defensive run group.
I just feel like deep down inside, like the Texan offensive line's not that good, and Tunzel is out, which means even though the Titans' defensive line hasn't really owned a lot of offensive lines this year, I feel like they should. Like, the Texans have a mediocre offensive line, and Laramie Tunsil, the best player on that offensive line, is out. I mean, Simmons, Casey, those, you need to go play. Like, go get the quarterback, stop the run, all of those things. Because the Texan offensive line had all freaking day when they played here 2 weeks ago.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you, but, I mean, what have we really seen from Simmons that make you think he's going to go in there and set the world on fire? You know, there's nothing. And Casey really has been kind of inconsistent. So, you know,
he hasn't been inconsistent. He's been non-existent this year.
Okay, but I mean, you know, so you're looking at your D line, you're thinking, well, they haven't set the world on fire, but I'm not sure we have. So, you know, it'll be a pretty good battle.
I mean, that's the key word, we should. I mean, that's a scary word, should. I mean, it's still a question mark. So I just think if our defensive line just goes out there and plays physical, I know this is coach talk, play physical and do what they're capable of doing, I think we'll be successful.
What do we think of the Titans' offensive line, how they've come along throughout the course of the year against a Texan defensive line that's going to be without two starters?
Our offensive line has improved throughout the year. It's funny because the area that we have been or started off being the most concerned about, at least last week, is playing the best. Mm-hmm. You know, our two tackles, the area that you would like to think we were fairly solid, played poorly last week. I mean, that was maybe the worst game I've seen LaJuan play. So, I mean, this is going to be a game where, you know, hopefully it all comes together for us because we're going to need it with Derek and we're going to need to protect Ryan. Let's face it.
Yeah, but our offensive line hasn't been playing well. Is Panfield playing left tackle? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, they've been playing well. I mean, the guy that's been playing well has been consistent all year is Ben Jones. I know we gave him a hard time, but he's been playing consistent football. So with him playing consistent football, it just feeds off on everybody in the offensive line.
Meanwhile, Mike Vrabel's third key to the game for the Titans to pull off the big victory, win on third downs.
They do such a great job of obviously the quarterback, you know, being able to extend plays or, you know, if you're soft in a zone, Hopkins or, you know, those guys are good enough to sit down. You know, they have a good third down back, Duke Johnson. So it's going to be important that we get off the field on third down. And then also, you know, we're staying in those third and manageables. We had too many third and longs last week. We know that's not the recipe for success. So it'll be important for us to continue to keep it in third and manageable and then convert.
Floyd, hopefully with Deshaun Watson out today, how much should that help the Titan defense on third downs?
Well, it should help the Titan defense, again, depending on what they can and can't play, and you know, because then the tight ends become factors. But our offense, I would like to think, would become a little bit more of a factor on third down, and simply because we got Derek, you know, and Derek. So instead of a third and five, maybe Derek can make it a third and two, and third and two, you got to be able to convert on, and so. So it keeps your drive going, keeps you eating up the clock and all the good things that we want. So I think I'm hoping a little bit more of that happens. You know, we convert on offense, hold on to that ball for longer, longer, longer.
Yeah, and it does, and it takes the crowd out of the game. I mean, if you're converting third downs, you have a 10 and 12 play drive, and you're constantly converting third downs, it just takes the momentum away from, you know, A.J. Cairns. I'm not sure what he's going to do. I don't know what he's going to do. But if we can just convert those third downs, I think we can be really, really good at what we're doing.
What are our keys to the game for the Titans today for a win over the Texans? Chris, we'll start with you.
It's going to be with Derrick Henry. It's going to start with the offense. Derrick Henry's going to have to come out. We're going to see what he's going to do. He was off last week, and we're going to see how he's going to respond. If that hammy can hold on and we convert third downs and let him get started, we can definitely be successful. And on defense, just a couple of words, don't give up the explosive plays. If we don't give up the explosive plays, then I think we're going to see the Tennessee Titans make it in the playoffs.
Especially without their explosive players
exactly.
in the game today.
Exactly.
Floyd, your keys to the game.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably agree with both of those. I mean, the explosive plays are the thing that scares you simply because we don't know these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, the guys that are going to play, we don't know that much about them. And I think they're in a point, especially on offense, where they, you know, what are we saving it for?
Right.
You know, we're not going to take it to the prom. So let's go ahead and put it out there. If we've got a halfback pass, if we've got any of those crazy things, crazy formations, crazy plays, put it out there. You know, this is the last game. Now you go into the playoffs, you won't be doing a bunch of that stuff anyway. So throw it out there.
So my thing, my key to the game today
yes.
is the guys that are going to be in there that are not the star players for the Titans, just don't screw it up. Punt returner, just catch the ball. Kicker, just put it through the uprights. Put it out of the end zone on the kickoffs. Just don't screw it up turnovers. Don't drop the ball. Don't do those kind of things. And then let Tannehill and co. Let Tannehill and the group go out there and win the game for you today against the Texans. It is time now for game day picks, our final game day picks of the season. Chris Sanders, who wins today?
Whoa, don't say that. What did you hear what you just said?
Our final game day picks of the regular
season. Thank you.
There you go.
Our final game day picks of the regular season. Chris Sanders, who wins today and why?
With all those guys out for the Houston Texans, I'm going with the Tennessee Titans 35-17.
So you can breathe a little easy today.
I can breathe, man. I ain't wearing a tight shirt, so I can breathe.
Floyd, who wins today?
Same old for me. I got Houston 41-40.
Now, you did pick the Titans on Friday, and it means you're going with the Titans. But, again, Floyd is gone. Ever since you started doing this, ever since you started going 41-40.
It's worked.
The Titans have won a lot of these games. I'm going to go with the Titans today. I'll go 31-18. I think Tannehill goes out there and gets it done for the Titans. And this time, next week, we will be sitting here getting ready for Titans and Patriots.
There we go. Yeah,
I think that is where Tennessee may be headed. Again, a New England loss and a Kansas City win and a Titan win would put the Titans.
Oh my gosh, they just
touchdown Miami with 24 seconds to go. So if the Titans win, it looks like we'll be talking Titans Patriots next week.
Wow,
Chris, what are you doing next week during the week?
Well, next week when?
During the week, what are you doing it? Because Floyd, Jared and the GM, Floyd, you know, during Patriot Week, doesn't want to divulge any state secrets on either side. So we'll all see you all then. Music City Bowl tomorrow. Get excited. Special thanks to the George Jones this season for being with us for the pregame show. Thankful to all of you as well. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Although even though that was last week, Happy New Year to everybody out there. We'll see you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.